What it do? You already know what it is. It's King Me Podcast. I'm your boy B.
And I'm Q the Dime.
And guess what, man? We got an awesome episode up ahead of us, man. We're going to be talking about what makes a man a man. That's right. You heard it. What makes a man a man?
Well,
but
tough.
Before we do this, you know, we're going to kick it off right, man. We're going to have our King Me viral moment.
All right, let's see what we got going.
Well, we got...
Here you go. Sister, my big brother, my dad, my mom, my OGs, I listen to y'all. Like, it's really a slap in the face to me. If I, you know what I'm saying? Like, I just was telling my girl that, like, I don't think you need a therapist. I don't think I need a therapist. I feel like I'm not a man if my girl get a therapist. It's like, damn, you actually call somebody and listen to what they got to say over me instead of just listening to what I'm telling you. I just feel less of a man.
Yeah, so that's Young Thugger. Forgot what podcast he was on, but he was just...
I think that was The Pivot.
Yeah, The Pivot. Yeah, he was on The Pivot, and he was just talking about that, man. So I want to get your thoughts on that, man. He said he felt less than a man if his old lady go see a therapist.
I can't quite... I don't understand. Like, how does that play on your manhood? Because somebody go to therapist... I feel like, you know, how does that make you less of a man? I don't get it. Like, because I might not be able to help you with what you're going through. I might not have the words. I might not have the ability to help you with what you're going through with. That's why God bless certain people with knowledge and knowing how to do this kind of stuff. Because I might tell you something that's completely wrong.
Right.
So I don't see how that plays on your manhood. And I think that negative connotation toward therapy is something that needs to be broken, because that don't have anything to do with your manhood. Oh, you're crazy or something is wrong with you. Like, that definitely don't need to be. I hate that he broadcasted that, because people don't need to get into that thought process. What'd you think about it?
Well, I kind of understand what he's saying, because I'm gonna tell you, okay, a lot of things that I didn't told my wife, she didn't necessarily listen to it, but then she went maybe say it's a friend, or then she went to a therapy session and they said exactly the same thing I said. But what I realized is that, like, some people have the ability to, in that moment, can reach a person and they can understand, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, me and my wife go through therapy right now, you know what I'm saying? And it's good to hear somebody else's perspective on things, man, because sometimes, because you're so close to the mirror, sometimes you can't really see what your significant other spouse saying about you and what you're doing, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And sometimes, and if you like me, you know what I'm saying? Sometimes I feel like sometimes they use that to manipulate, you know what I'm saying, in a sense. But that just a toxic way of thinking.
What you mean, use what to manipulate?
Well, like I had this thing early on in our marriage that, you know what I'm saying, she was trying to change me, you know? Mm-hmm. And that comes from the construct of how I've been raised, how I've seen my father handling things and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And I felt like in so many different ways it came against, like, my manhood in a sense. You know what I'm saying? So and I felt like I was good.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, so Young Thug sound like he sound like the same person. You know what I'm saying? I was. Like, he sound like
when you said it like that, I could kind of see what he mean. Word choice might not be good, right. Like, but the fact of, you know,
it's the word choice he used.
Yeah, the word choice, which is always a big thing. But I could kind of get where y'all see it.
So I don't know, man. I guess the listeners, man, let us know what you think about that, because, you know, sometimes, like, I know people have this all the time, bro. Like you tell your old lady something, and then her friends, her homegirl come back and tell her the exact same thing you told her. And she repeat what her homegirl said, and they be like, I just told you this a couple weeks ago.
So for me, it's more like somewhat similar situations, but she'll be listening to a word from one of the preachers we listen to online, right, or something that my pastor say. And she, I was just, when he said that, it just was, I'm like, yo, I tell you this all the time, or I've told you this before, but I don't let that, like, it. Sometimes it kind of makes me a little bit, I won't say mad, but it kind of like, Like, dang.
I just said it.
I just said that. I said the same thing, but hearing it from, but it's also like with kids, sometimes you being a dad, you know this.
Yeah.
I can tell my kids something, and it's like, man, this dude corny, he don't know what he's talking about. He don't. But somebody else that they relate to a little bit more, or that they might accept it from somebody else a little bit differently. And so as a parent, you like, bro, so I guess it's always that thing. Like sometimes just getting it from somebody else that ain't actually in the situation. Cause sometimes it comes across as like, you're supposed to say this. Like you're supposed to tell me like if you got a daughter, dad, you're supposed to tell me I'm beautiful. You're not gonna say, mm-hmm. nah, baby girl, you ugly. You're not gonna say that. Right. So when it comes from somebody else, it's like
they sometimes resonate with it.
Yeah, they resonate and it's confirmation.
Yeah, and just to touch a little bit base of it, I think what matters is the posture. I don't want to say posture, but the environment you're in at the moment. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. When you're saying some stuff and you're saying it. Normally, when your spouse or significant other telling you something, they're really telling you something for you not to get them no feedback, really. You know what I'm saying? So they ain't in receiving feedback mode. You know what I'm saying? They really want you to listen. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? That's somewhat what I kind of came up with between me and my spouse, man, how it kind of, you know, how we kind of do things. But, like, things have gotten a lot better because that's part of communication. You know what right. I'm saying? But I just kind of recognize, like, even with me, like, today, you know, like, she was preparing dinner, and I was just sitting down, like, scrolling on social media, and she was talking to me. I wasn't completely engaged. You know what I'm saying? So I just mm-hmm. think sometimes when we speaking, and we saying some stuff, basically we don't be in that mindset of receiving. Same thing with our, you know, our significant other. So yeah, like I just had wanted to get your thought on the viral moment.
That's definitely a moment because that was kind of off the wall. But I get where the thought come from. Word choice wasn't too good, but yeah. I get the thought.
Yeah, that's what's up, man. So yeah, going back to the show episode, man. I said I got some good feedback from social media. I kind of put it out there what we're gonna be speaking about, what makes a man, and a lot of times, man, just give some backdrop, man. Like you know, from the beginning of time to now, the role of a man he has evolved in so many different ways. You know what mm-hmm. I'm saying? From from a primitive creature, of people hunting. You know what I'm saying? And going out there and killing. Well, I guess men going out there killing, bringing the food back. To us clocking in, going to work, the woman kind of, you know what I'm saying, stay back and raise the kids.
Right.
To, you know what I'm saying, where we at now, like, you got both people working and stuff like that, providing and stuff like that. So we have come up in a time right now, you know what I'm saying, you kind of scroll across social media, kind of see, like, this battle, you know what I'm saying? You got women telling men what they need to do and how to be a man. And you got men telling women how they should be as a woman. You know what I'm saying?
Most definitely.
So that's what made me came up like, hey, listen, man, what makes a man? So I'm gonna start off the question with you, man. Like, what you think? Your thought patterns on that?
My thought pattern on that. I think for one, you got to be a man of your word. Like your word got to be law. Your word is the only thing you got. To me, I think we live in a society now where your morals and principles ain't really got to be of that high standard, but I think that's the start of it to me. That's
keeping your word,
having some morals, having some principles. Like, if I can't trust your word, anything else, that's your foundation.
Right.
If what you say ain't the law, when I say the law, I mean like we know that this to be true. If your word ain't good, then nothing else you say, I don't care nothing else about what you got going on. Your word ain't good, so you know, just your word being good, having some morals and some principles, when it comes to the social economics part of it, that can get real blurry. That can get real, you know, situational. Every situation could be a little bit different. But I think the base principle of it is your morals and principles and standing on your word, man. Like, because, right. like, at the end of the day, you can script the funds away. You can script the fame away. You can script whatever you want away. But if I tell you something and you know that when this man tell me something, he going to try to do what he said he going to do.
Right.
That means a lot. That goes a long way. And I think nowadays we just kind of miss that. Like, even in the whole thing of men against women, what roles are, we miss the base principles. Think about it. Like, when we're having these discussions online, when they're having these discussions online, they're not talking about principles. They're not talking about people standing on their word. They it's about a whole nother thing. And you strip all of that away. Mm-hmm. What's the basis of it? You script the titles, all that away. What is this person? So to me, you know, your word and your morals and principles. What you think about it?
Well, I've been sitting here for a week just looking over some things, man, and then reflecting over my life too as well.
Mm-hmm.
And what make me a man, you know what I'm saying? And one of the first thing, my thing is responsibility. You know what I'm saying? Responsibility is often the first test of manhood.
Mm-hmm.
Responsibility. And it kind of tied to society and scripture, both tied to leadership, to accountability. You know what I'm saying? If you think about, like, in Genesis, when Adam, he didn't, when God gave him an ability to name the animals, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? That was one of the very first responsibility that he had. And I often look at responsibility as stewardship.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
That's a bar.
And it was like Adam, he didn't just name the animals. He steward the creation. That tells us God values responsibility over image.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So, and I think about me personally, with just my life, man, as I kind of was growing up, and I'm the oldest in my family. So, you know, I had a whole lot of responsibility on my head for a whole lot of stuff. You know what I'm saying? And sometimes it felt heavy though. You know what I'm saying? It felt real heavy. But I think that's one of the first tests of being a young man, or just being a man, period. The responsibility. So how you feel about, like, when it comes down to responsibility? My phone going off. when the first thing comes to mind as a man, is it financial, emotional, spiritual, or something else?
Okay, I'm going to hit the responsibility part first. Okay. To me, when it comes to responsibility, I think that's big for manhood. You know, even to the point of, you know, when we playing rec sports, that they teach you responsibility. That your mom, your dad, they teach you responsibilities. Even growing up, like, you clean up your room, you do this, you do that, because like you said, from the beginning of creation, men had a obligation to be responsible for something.
Right.
And sometimes that weight is very, very heavy, and it's not something that you want to carry all the time, but God ordained for you to have responsibilities.
He built us for that.
He built us for that. So I think we have gotten a little bit softer when it comes to what we can bear and what we can hold, but we fit for the responsibility part. Now, also, too, with that being said, I don't want any of the viewers or the listeners to misconstrue what I'm saying.
Right.
It needs to be responsibility that, you know, not you taking on the responsibility of everybody in the world. Like, we're not saying, like, you take on everybody's problem, but yeah. Certain responsibilities that you have, God is going to assign you certain responsibilities, that's just your job. That's just going to be life. That's just what you got to do. Now, what was your next part?
Well, man, listen, you kind of touched on everything, but I'm going to ask you another question, man. Do you believe a man can still be respected if he avoids responsibility in one area but excels in another? Like, for example, a great provider, but an absent father.
Ooh, that
is that still manhood? Said no.
I'm. You go with your move. You go ahead with yours.
Yeah.
Okay. Hey. So with that.
Like Anthony Edwards.
Okay.
He providing, but. It looked like he about to be an absent father.
Well, yes and no.
Okay.
I'm going to tell you yes and no. I think sometimes the thing I respect him for, this is what I respect him for. I don't respect the fact that he's not going to be in his child's life.
Right.
So let me make that perfectly clear. My respect for him comes from, I told you beforehand.
Mm-hmm. I got you.
So I'm being a man of my word because I told you I'm not going to be in this child's life.
The word is your bond.
I told you this.
Yeah.
And you took it upon yourself to do this yourself without taking into account anything I said at all. So you didn't believe me. So I'm going to show you more than I could tell you. And he stood on business.
Stood on business.
And it ain't like he's not providing for his child.
Yeah, you're providing.
Because he provided. How much is it? How much I got to cut the check for? 18 years? Here you go.
Yeah, so okay, with that being said, and this is twofold.
Yeah,
it is.
The responsibility part. Although you told her, and although you said that, you knew what the ramifications was.
Could be.
When you sat True. Down and, well, not when sat you lay down, down. But when you lay down and did what you did, you knew what come behind that. You can't make that decision to tell the woman, like, you got to have the baby or you don't. Like, you can't make that decision.
Well, I don't think that's the thing. Like, I've never, in all of my instances with all of my kids, I've always said, hey, what do you want to do? Because I respect your decision. It's your body. You got to go through the change. If we don't work out, 9 times out of 10, the child's going to be with you primarily.
Right.
So at the end of the day, this is your decision. What I say in my respect for it is some men wouldn't be honest.
Right, right.
Ahead of time.
Definitely. I respect
most men. Most men would not be honest ahead of time.
That's good. That's good.
You know, and I think that I think that there was a level of respect he had for her by being honest. I think respect comes in the honesty of it.
Right.
Now, he respected her enough to be honest with her. Hey, look, yeah, we laid down. This was a chance of something that'll happen, but I told you I wasn't going to be in this child's life. And so now, whether that's right or wrong, morally, that's between him and God. That's
right, whatever. Right, right.
That's who he has to answer to at the end of the day, or this child, if the child ever comes looking for him. Which, if that's my daddy, I'm going to look for him.
Most definitely. Most definitely.
If that's my daddy, I'm going to look for him. But I don't agree with the action, but I respect the honesty behind the action.
Okay, now I like that. I mean, we can respect the honesty. Yeah, so honesty. As far as can a man be a provider if, no, can a man
Be considered a man.
Yeah.
Considered a man. Okay, so.
He said in one area is like, you know what I'm saying, the responsibility part for being a provider, but then he'll ask him father, though.
So I think.
You, go ahead.
I think we have to kind of give people grace, because that's a learning thing, too, because if I would say a man could be considered a man, because you can learn that. You can learn how to be a present dad. Like, you already doing the finance part. That's cool. That's great. But the kids, technically, up to a certain age, don't care nothing about no finances. If you give a 5-year-old $100, they don't care nothing about that. But what they do care about is, my dad was at my game today. So I'm not going to take away your quote-unquote manhood because you not meeting those marks. You got to be striving to get to those points. You got to be striving. Like, those celebrity guys that have 10, 11 kids, the first thing that people say online is, well, they got enough money to provide for them. That's cool. But I want my dad present. I want, when I look out in the crowd, my dad is out there. That's what a child care about more than, my daddy got $1 million. Because at a certain age, that $1 million don't mean nothing to you.
It don't mean nothing.
But donuts for dad, well, breakfast with dad, that means the world to a child. So I'm not going to take away your manhood, but I would look at you more solid. I'm going to be honest. I don't respect the guy that ain't there for his kids. That's just me. I can't respect it. You could be doing financially, but I can't respect it. I'm not going to say you're not a man, because you could also learn and get better with that. But just off the rip, because you're saying, like, I give my kids money, that don't mean nothing to a child. So for me, I don't respect the man who's not physically there with his kids. But I also understand it's a lot of things to unpack with that. Some people don't know how to be a good dad. Some people don't know.
Because I didn't, me personally, my oldest, I didn't know. I didn't learn. My dad was a heroin addict. He wasn't in my life till about 7. Like, he was around.
Right.
And he would take me to do stuff when he wasn't high. But for the most part, I didn't know. So when I had my daughter, I don't know nothing.
Right.
I don't know anything. So as I got, but I did know I got to work. And I'm a workaholic. I'm an avid workaholic. But I'm learning balance now at the 40-some-odd age that I am. I'm learning balance because I have to, because I am my youngest son lives with me. I mean, my second youngest son lives with me, period, primarily. And so I don't have a choice but to go to his cross-country meet and take him to basketball practice. And I got to figure out a way to be everywhere for him because I'm the only person that's going to do it. And I found the value in it when I see his face light up when he don't think I'm going to make something and I'm there.
Right. So, like, okay, and I hate to, like, keep prolonging this, but, man, to me, like, bro, I I'm just being transparent. My dad was a good dude, taught me a lot about being a man. But as far as being the present dad, bro, it felt so bad to have to do breakfast with dad and you with your friends, daddy. My daddy never seen me play no sport all the way from Rick to high school. Never seen me, never been to none of my games. Knew we played, like, if he seen me going to the game or something, son, here, get you some money. Like, but for some people, that's the finance part, the provider part, is them being a good dad. Because like he said, you don't have a blueprint for this. You don't know how to do it. And you don't want to mess up. You don't want to, like, okay, I don't know what to do, so I'm going to just stay away from it. And so, like, it's situation by situation. And what we fail to do is, like, give people grace. Like I said, I don't respect the man that's not trying. I don't respect the man that's, like,
not trying.
Just, like, right. You had a child for 10 years, and you haven't given any effort. I can't respect it. Now, if you knew, like, that's why it's situation by situation, and we have to offer grace, because a lot of times what we don't do in life is learn people's situations. Like, this young man here, I would have never known that about his dad, but just seeing him maybe not, you know, with his daughter when he first had her, like, you would have your opinion on the way he was doing it, but not learning his story, not offering grace, you would never know, like, oh, he really didn't know how to do it. Now, he learned. Mm-hmm. But you got to give people that grace too. So I think, like,
when you say we give people grace, you're talking about the people on the outside, or the child, because the child
don't know nothing about grace.
He ain't thinking about grace.
The child doesn't know.
Well, let me say,
a lot of times that gonna kind of follow them into adulthood.
See, and that's true. And I'm gonna tell you why. Me and my ex, we got into it, and I have a daughter. I didn't see her. She pretty much kept me from her from the time I was six. The time she was six until she was a freshman in college. And when she was a freshman in college, here's what happened. My oldest girl, who I've been in her life since day one, they wanted to connect. So they connected because they go to college 20 minutes from each other. One goes to Howard, one goes to George Mason. So they like 20, 30 minutes from each other. So they went to see each other, do stuff. And so she sat down and she said, I want to talk to dad. And so she gave her my number and she called me and she was like, hey, I want you to come see me. So I got all my kids. We got in the car the next weekend and we drove up there. And the first time I had seen her in 12 years, she gave me a big hug and she said, don't even worry about it. We just going to start from here.
Wow. That's fire.
That's, man, shout out to you, man. Shout out to God for that, man. That's a blessing.
And listen, when I tell you, and then I learned from someone, because the lack of respect for someone who tries, I tried and got shot down everywhere. Every time I tried, I had to fly to New York to go to court to try to get my visitation because I was paying child support. My flight was late. The judge was like, nah, you didn't respect this court enough to be here on time. So we're going to throw this out. And then I was like, man, I can't come back. You're going to have to come back like 2 days later. I said, I got to go back to work and then come. So then it was a bunch of stuff. And I met a dude and he said, just start a journal where whatever conversation you would have with her, if you were to call, write that out. And so I did that. I have 12 notebooks. Well, I don't have them anymore. My daughter has them now. Because last year when we reconnected, I gave her those notebooks so that she could see it. They're all dated and everything that was going on in my life, everything I ever wondered about her. Because her and my mom had a relationship. And everything my mom would tell me, I had little pictures of stuff in there of her to let her know, basically, that I was thinking about you for 12 years.
Man, that's
gotta be tough though too.
It was
like that had to be tough, man. Just your mindset, or even going to meet her. You know what I'm saying? Like
I didn't know what to expect.
Right, that's what, like, I got to say.
I didn't know what to expect, and then the crazy part is, I know what she looked like. but I didn't know.
Yeah.
So when I pulled up to her dorm and I called her and said, hey, come downstairs, we both looking at each other like, is that you? Is that you?
Yeah. Is so that you? You were nervous?
I tried to reach out to her mom. This is what made me nervous. I tried to reach out to her mom maybe 4 years ago on Facebook. Her mom said, please stop contacting me. I wish you would die. So I didn't know what she had put into my daughter's head about mm-hmm. me. And the blessing that I got was, she said, it's not to say, she said, whatever happened between you and mom is between you and mom. That has nothing to do with me and you. She was like, I'm old enough. And so we're just going to start from right now.
Right.
So your word is whatever it is from today. Now, if you prove to be whatever she said, then that's on you. Man. But I'm giving you this opportunity pretty much. That's how she said it. It wasn't those words verbatim, but that's pretty much the sentiment was, I gave you a pass because I understand. But whatever you do from here is on you.
Salute to her too as well, man. Like, because.
Yeah, that's tough.
Like, I know personally, man, no mothers sometimes be putting some stuff in them kids' heads, boy.
Right.
And your child, like, you the enemy.
Right. So even with that, when the question of the provider and the prison dad, those are things that has to be taken into account. Not by the child. I'm just speaking from the person that's viewing the situation. Because the child ain't going, a lot of time, that situation is very fortunate. Because that situation don't turn out like that a lot.
It don't turn out like that.
Because most kids have resentment. Like, girls, dad who saw them off the prom, I didn't get that. So they have their thing. And then, you know, a mother could put whatever she wants. So when we judging these situations, that's why I don't really like the social media debates. Because even if somebody put up a story, you only know part of that story. You don't know if that mom kept that trying dad from seeing that child. You don't know how the situation really was. I got some cousins who kind of got some resentment versus that. Well, I don't know if they still do, but they had resentment to their dad. But later on in life, they found out, like, you know, okay, it wasn't all what mama was saying. Daddy was actually trying. But so you done, now we got to work to chisel away that hatred, that resentment. We got to work to try to chisel that away. Because, so that's why, to me, it's hard to judge. Like, it's situation by situation.
And it's different, though, man. You know, speaking on that, like, I could speak on a little bit. Well, you know, I kind of was in a situation like that. But, like, speaking on, like, how I've been raised, my dad was a provider, but he wasn't there, you know what I'm saying, emotionally. You know what I'm saying? So I had a level of resentment for him, and my siblings did. Now, I kind of grew out of that. You know what I'm saying? But my siblings, they still have a level of resentment towards my father. And I guess he was a provider, and he wasn't there emotionally when he was, you know what I'm saying, he was there. He was like kind of checkout, you know what I'm saying, in a sense, or he was in the streets. But as I got older, you know what I'm saying, I kind of get it though, you know what I mean, from, you know, for being him. I mean, it's real hard, man, to be a provider and still be there spiritually and emotionally for your family, man. Those are, there's three different roles that you got to play.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And it often seems like too much at times. You know what I'm saying?
I got a question for you, bro.
Yeah.
What that resentment that you had, and you say you kind of got over that over the years, and your brothers weren't able to do it. What does that work actually look like of getting over that? Is it therapy? Is it just talking to your dad? Is it just, you know, kind of like a self thing where you just like, all right, it's done with. Because I have my own situation with my dad too.
Yeah, that's
what I'm asking.
That's a good question, because my father, I mean, he did a whole lot of stuff, bro. I ain't even gonna sit here and fake, man. But just to spare some of the details, I'll tell you about this one instance. Like, I always been trying to work towards our relationship, me and his relationship, but I was doing the work though. You know what I'm saying? He wasn't doing the work on his end. I remember one particular Father's Day, man, that Saturday, me and him had got into it. I can't remember what we got into it about, but it was something simple. You know what I'm saying? He cursed me out. And then the next day, Sunday, it was Father's Day. So I gave him a card, you know what I'm saying, and wrote some stuff in there, man. And like, he looked at the card. I mean, he didn't open the card. He said, what's this? I said, Happy Father's Day. And he just threw the card. He said, I don't want that shit. You know what I'm saying? And man, that thing had ate me, you know what I'm saying? It did something to me. It made me felt some type of way in the inside, because, you know, I was vulnerable enough to kind of put the argument we had previous day aside. And then I had, you know what I'm saying, came to him with a sense of humility to give him, acknowledge him for Father's Day, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And he just kind of tossed it to the side. It crushed me inside. But I was angry. I was sad and I was angry, you know what I'm saying, about the whole situation. So I used that example, you know what I'm saying, to say that, like sometimes, man, I didn't never want to be that person that had that hatred in my heart.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So, like, what I did was, I mean, and it's to a fault, though. I pushed stuff behind me, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And I just kind of keep moving forward, you know what I'm saying? But one thing I did, I was doing was, I kind of been journaling certain stuff off and on, putting stuff down, like, how I really felt, you know what I'm saying? Like, because at one point in time, I don't want to use the, man, I wanted my dad off the face of this earth, man, at one point in time, you know what I'm saying? And that was early on. But now, man, it's like, you know what I'm saying? We good, like best friends, man. You know what I'm saying? And my siblings now, they still feel some type of way. And I've been trying to help coach them through certain things. But it's kind of tough because they see things from a different perspective. For me, I just, you know what I'm saying? I'm not saying they didn't want a relationship with him, but they felt like that he needed to try too. You know what I'm saying?
So yeah, most definitely.
So I was the one who, you know what I'm saying, who doing the work and doing certain things. And I don't think that's for everybody because everybody, you know what I'm saying, view things a lot different. So that's just my experience and how things kind of work out over the years.
Okay, so for one, shout out to you for even attempting to get that work done, because I'm going to tell you, it's very hard to be the son and you're trying to be the one that make up the lost time. You're trying to be the one that kind of cover the ground. So for me, I don't know. I'm wired a little bit different because my dad is from New York, so he moved down here when we were younger, but it's like he was still in New York because we had such a foreign relationship. But it's when he did see us, when we was with him, like he told us, like the one piece of advice that he gave me that shaped my whole entire life was, be your own man, son. So it's not a bashing thing, but it's just, I think he had a lot of maturing to do. Like, I don't feel like he ever like fully matured till he got older. And by that point, I'm older. So like, he had a conversation with us one day. He said, man, I apologize to y'all. He said, I wasn't there for y'all. Y'all mama, like, man, shout out to y'all mama. She did the work she put in. Like, she made y'all some good men. Right. Of course, we had my uncles, you know, cousins and, you know, granddaddy, all that. But he said, man, shout out to y'all mama. She put in the work. Like, and bro, that apology for me went so, like, it did something to me. But then it was a period where, like, I was watching the way that other dads deal with their sons and the relationship that they got. And I thought I was over it. And I'm telling you, I'm 20-something at this point. And I'm like, yo, one day I just get up and I'm at my daddy again. I'm like, bro, I don't have that relationship where I could call him, but where we, pops, what you doing this weekend? Let's go. I'm like, bro. And it kind of made me feel some type of way. But then it's just like every so often I have those thoughts. But then it just, I love my daddy to death. Like, I don't have no ill will towards him. It's just, I guess it bothers me when I see other people with their dad, like, and they got like a great father-son duo relationship. That's when it kind of like gets me. If I'm not watching somebody like actively interact with their dad, I don't care.
That's how, but, like, my brother feel. That's exactly how they feel. You know what I'm saying? Like, they got friends and stuff like that, and they see how their relationship with their dad is a lot different. But what my thing is, I respect Pops for what he tried. Like, some people, you said it earlier, you know what I'm saying? Like, some people just ain't in that mindset to do certain things. I remember DMX, and sometimes I kind of question even this, but I remember DMX was on Ayana Fix My Life. Him and his son was talking and stuff like that, and his son felt some type of way about him. Mm-hmm. And DMX told his son, I did the best that I could. You know what I'm saying? And sometimes that can be true and also a cop-out too at the same time, not to do better. But, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I respect where Pop's at, the way he been raised, the way he look at things. And he had to have that mindset of being emotionless because he was in war, because he was in the military. Some of that stuff, man, he just couldn't, like, snap out of it, you know what I'm saying? So, like, for me, I guess I rationalized with the fact that, and I just seen, like, man, he really can't really connect like that. You know what I'm saying? Like, and I had to get to that point to actually realize that and see that, like, no matter what, like, he actually really doing the best he can. You know what I'm saying? That go back to what you were saying earlier by giving people grace. But, like, you know, stuff like that, only the Holy Spirit can kind of reveal certain things to you and start dealing with that hurt in your heart. You know what I'm saying? Because that really could kind of, you know what I'm saying, sink into other areas in your life and stuff like that, man. And one thing I do realize is how your parents, like how my parents, my dad did things. I did the opposite to my kids. But then also I'm seeing the effects of me doing the opposite. And I felt like I've been kind of soft a little bit.
You think you're overdoing it?
I'm overcompensating.
Yeah.
And that was gonna be that was actually going to be my next question. Like,
do you think you overcompensate?
Like overcompensating and like, because you hear people say, okay, the way I think is this, I don't have kids, but the way I think, I know how it felt to not have my dad at breakfast with dad. So I know automatically what not to do. So when it be kind of hard for me, and this is where I need to get better at with giving grace, it be hard for me when guys be like, I just didn't know everything about parenting. You're never going to know everything, but just being present, it be like, and not no situation where like the mama being crazy, but like when you got an opportunity to be present and you just choose not to. So when guys be like, I didn't know how to do it. Like, bro, you knew how you felt when you didn't have it for you. So
yeah, but sometimes people can't make that correlation. Yeah. Like it just, sometimes it doesn't connect. Yeah. Like you don't know until you know.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes there are things that are revealed to you because first off, we're not supposed to go to therapy. That's what we're not supposed to do. All right, that's what society tells you. Don't deal with it. You know, black men should suffer in silence. Mm-hmm. That's kind of the thing. We're strong. We're built strong. We're for tough. You know what I'm saying? Like right. we're the ones that's supposed to be go out, fight the world, come home, and fight at home or whatever it is. No matter what's going on, it's supposed to be poured on our shoulders, and we're supposed to just be okay. Yeah. So a lot of times, there's things that get pushed to the side that we don't even understand that we can, that's not even that we don't even really fully remember. Like I didn't realize till I was older. I was a really good football player and basketball player, and my daddy had never been in no games. I didn't realize that till I was like 37, 38. Wow. It didn't hit me until then.
That's crazy.
You know, so because it didn't. Odd. No, because it was regular life. It was regular life. Like once my dad got off the like you talked about your resentment towards your father and your brother's resentment, right?
Right.
I have my youngest brother. Had my dad the whole time. He had my dad overcompensated with him what he didn't do for us, me, my sister, and my brother. My sister and my brother still blame my daddy for their circumstances. My brother been locked up for 9 years, blame my daddy every time I get on the phone.
Yeah.
My sister takes whatever help that she can get from the government and still blames my daddy that she got to get help from the government.
Right, right,
even
right.
though my daddy is right there and is saying, hey, this is my daddy told her, we have a 3-family brownstone in Brooklyn. There's a downstairs apartment. He said that she can't take the Section 8 if it's a family member who owns the home. So instead of getting off the Section 8 and moving into the downstairs apartment where she's probably not going to pay anything, she'd rather stay on the Section 8, live in these bad areas, complain about these bad areas and everything else, and then blame my daddy for the situation that she's in. When I got old enough and me and him had an opportunity to talk, I realized he was a Vietnam vet, came back screwed up, cooked on heroin. The only thing he knew was to get out of that bad space was to get high. So I got to understand that he was hooked on something. He wasn't not there to just not be there. Now that he made a decision to be on this stuff, but give him grace. I didn't have to sleep in the jungle at night and wonder if I was going to come back to the United States.
Right.
I didn't have to be out there by myself with a dog. That wasn't me. So I have to give him the grace and understanding to be like, you know what? You was dealt a hand that you didn't know how to deal with. And the only way you could deal with it was putting something in you that numbed you from everything else.
Yeah.
And so okay, like y'all saying, like the military correlation is a real thing, because I think a lot of military guys who's actually like military now is different, and I respect military. I'm grateful for what they do for the country. But military warfare back then was a lot different than what it is now. Absolutely. You get what I'm saying? So to those guys' perspective and point of view, to be in these places where you watching somebody that your comrade get his brains blowed out or gut spilling out, you do have to get to a certain point where you compartmentalize that stuff, and it turns off your emotions to a sense. Like, you detach from what real life is in order to get through what you got to get through.
Because you ain't got time to stop. If this man got blown up right here, you ain't got time to stop and worry and think about it. Like, you got to keep going.
Right. So that turns your human emotions off. So like y'all said, man, I want to shout out both of y'all guys, man, for providing grace, man, because that's not easy, bro. It's not easy to sit up here and really say, okay, I'm not going to say you had a reason, but I can understand where this stuff come from. So, man, shout out to, like,
but
even though
to your point, and I know you'll agree with me with this, Brandon, I am only where I'm at because I offered him that grace. My brother and my sister are locked in a prison that they'll never get out of because they're continuously blaming him for their problems.
Mm. Ooh, that was a bar.
Yeah, that was a bar. That's a Kimi bar. Yeah, they and that's the same thing with my siblings, man. So sometimes, I mean, you can feel some type of way, but when you start blaming, then you know how you felt back then. It's like you reliving that, like
every
that same moment all the time. You know what I'm saying? Like, at some point in time, you got to kind of move forward, and that might look a little different from different individuals, but like whatever you got to do, you just got to, you know what I'm saying? For me, like, I had to forgive my father, you know what I'm saying? One of the hardest things I ever had to do, you know what I'm saying? To forgive him for some of the things that he didn't say to me. Some of that stuff, man, played back in my head, bro, like some of the most horrible things. Yeah, I always felt like he would try to break me down, you know what I'm saying? And he did say he tried to break me down. In his mind, he was thinking that it would make me stronger.
Because because honestly, that's what the military do to people. And they would tell you, my thing is to break you down and build you back up.
Yeah.
The part that don't get translated is the build up. So they break you down, but because they're tough and they kind of detach from human things, it the build up don't be what nowhere near as big as the tear down. So I got to go on a little thing here.
Yeah, go ahead.
There's a lot of times, what I've found in life is a lot of people don't want to do the work. It feels good to have, and I'm not talking about nobody in particular, but it feels good to have an excuse as to why you are the way that you are. Like, we have to get out of the habit of kind of like just letting your life circumstances become your whole story, become your whole person. Like, it's to a, you got to try to get better. You got to try to heal. Like, and a lot of people don't do the work to heal. A lot of people don't do the work to get by, because if I can't hold down a job, it makes me feel better to say, well, I can't hold down the job because my daddy wasn't there for me, as to say, I can't hold down the job because I'm just not holding down the job. I'm not holding down the job because I'm not responsible. I'm not holding down the job because I want to party more. We got to stop just using anything as an excuse, using your scenarios, using your situations as a hindrance, as a crutch. And I'm not saying the stuff is easy, but a lot of people not putting in the work to.
Yeah, that was, you said something like, is I would say it's not easy, because it what it does is a self-reflection. You know what I'm saying? You're holding a mirror to yourself. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And a lot of times people, when you start seeing certain things, like I'm gonna tell you the craziest thing. Like one of my siblings, man, he have two kids. You know what the crazy thing is? Like, the thing that he hate about, you know what I'm saying, he dislike about my dad, he do the same thing to his kids.
Well, that's because he doesn't know, he doesn't understand.
Yeah, he don't understand.
He doesn't understand that that's what he's, sometimes we become what we hate most.
Hey, that's a fact, because I became that. I hated my father so much, man, and I became, well, I'm gonna tell you one thing my wife told me one time, boy, like, that junk had hurted me. Boy, she told me, you just like your father.
Mm.
That junk had, it hit me.
Almost to the point where
I had felt that one.
What make you almost want to, I ain't nothing like that nigga.
I did say that.
Yeah, where you, I want to get bucked with you a little bit, but you're a female, so I'm going to let you slide.
But she was, so later on that night, man, I was in the shower. I was thinking, man. And tears was rolling down my eyes because she was right.
Boy, that truth bomb hurt sometimes.
I was thinking I was better, but I was just like, you know what I'm saying, so many different ways. So, you know, hey, you said, how much time we got? 15 minutes, okay. Yeah, we got some good time. Man, it's, you know, I wanted to kind of share a story, man, that what happened to me this weekend.
All right, we got time, brother.
I want to share this story, man, like what happened to me this weekend, and it made me felt I had got to the point, man, I didn't know what to do. So what happened was, well, you already know the situation in my car. One of my cars down, you know what I'm saying? I had to get it fixed. I had a mechanic had kind of worked me over, man, and he didn't hold up his other end of the bargain, and then he took some of my money. And so I'm suing him, which court date is, you know what I'm saying, in November. But so you got that, right? So my daughter got a car, my wife got a car. My wife kind of is going on like, well, car kind of older. So Thursday, she asked me, Brandon, can you ride with me to the beach for her job? She had a work event. And I was like, yeah, like I can ride to the beach with you. So she said, she woke up that Thursday morning. She, you know what I'm saying, normal routine, get in her car, go to work early in the morning to the main site to get some stuff. On the way to the job, she caught a flat tire. She ran over something, man, so like 2 inches, like that jump was long, man. It was inside the tire, right? And so I went there, got the tire, put the spare tire on, I plugged her tire, right? And on the way of putting air in the tire, the spare tire bust. And I said, man, what the world going on, man? So you already know what I got in front of my day, right? So you know what I'm saying? I'm already a little frustrated with a lot of things because we down to like limited amount of cars. And so what happened was I called my pops. He came down with one of those portable.
You had left Florence. You had already left your.
No, I ain't left Florence. We still in Florence. We still. Okay. She was still at her job, and we end up. I end up fixing the tire and everything else, and took the car back to her. And she said, okay, I'm finished grabbing all my stuff. I'm about to come to the house and we're going to go to the beach. So we did that on the way, man. We had this awesome conversation, man. We was talking about paying off debt and we came up with this strategy, how we're going to pay off debt. And then I arrived to her where her event was. I drop off and then I said I was going to go to the beach and just kind of chill, you know what I'm saying, while she's setting things up for the event. I did that, you know what I'm saying? I sat on the beach, I read, I did some little exercise on the beach, and then I went to Planet Fitness to go, you know what I'm saying, take a little shower to get prepared for the event. So after I did that, put my clothes on, and I went, you know what I'm saying? I said, you know what, I'm hungry, I ate all day. At this point, it was like 3:30, 4 o'clock. Mm-hmm. So I'm driving, you know what I'm saying, grab something to eat, and I heard this little noise. I said, man, what's that, man? Like, so I pull on the side of the road, and then I, you know what I'm saying, checked the car, like, it wasn't nothing. So I said, you know, I'm going to drive about 50, 55 miles per hour. And now I'm heading to North Myrtle Beach now, you know what I'm saying? And then I heard another noise. I'm at this traffic. It was about 5 o'clock, so it was 5 o'clock traffic, bro. Mm. The car, how about the transmission went out?
At the beach?
Yeah.
Mercy.
And so the momentum of the car, I couldn't, you know what I'm saying, like, I couldn't press the gas or nothing. So I allowed the momentum of the car allow me to pull into this little bank, and then I parked the car there, man. And so, long story short, man, I was stuck at the beach. We were stuck at the beach for a while, man. I called somebody to come. I called about 5-6 people, towed the car. They didn't want to take that car back to, you know what I'm saying, back home, Florence, you know what I'm saying? And I find one guy, local, and two people answered the phone. The local person from around here, he said he'll do it for $450, well, $500. And I said, will you do it for $400? And he was like, you know, $450. So long story short, I was stuck, right? I had to get an Uber to take me to the airport to get a rental. And then I realized I ain't had my credit card on me. But then when I went to Enterprise, it was like, well, you know what I'm saying? You can use your debit card, but you need a boarding pass. So I ain't got that. On top of on top of that, my phone was at 4%. You know what I'm saying? So I said, you know what, let me call another Uber driver and take me to my wife's job, because she had her credit card and I just had to wait outside. So I was waiting outside her job, man, and I had a little moment, boy. I had broke down, boy. Like, I was like, I can't catch no break. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And the first time in my life, like, and I ain't gonna say it's the first time in my life, but the very first time I can remember, man, I ain't had the answers to nothing. Like, I ain't knew what to do. You know what I'm saying? And I felt like my wife was looking at me to have something to do. You know what I'm saying? Make something mm-hmm. happen. And I did not have nothing to do. You know what I'm saying? I ain't had nothing in my mind how I can make this right. Like, already calculating the prices to get my car back on the road, calculating. Now her transmission gone, you know what I'm saying? And the car stuck. And then I got to get the car back to, you know what I'm saying, home. So I was like, man. And I brought this story up. The reason why I brought the story up, because it was a real situation, man. I was frustrated and I was aggravated. And I had a moment where, you know what I'm saying, I broke down. You know what I'm saying? And I ain't had no answers to nothing. You know what I'm saying? And I pray, I said, God, I ain't got the answers, man. I don't know what to do. You know what I'm saying? We in a little rut. You know what I'm saying? And all of this kind of took place after we kind of came up with a plan of, you know, getting out of debt and all this other stuff, and I ain't got to spend money. You know what I'm saying? But I say all that to say, man, that it's men around the world right now that having moments like that, that pressure right there. And one of the hardest jobs ever, man. I don't care what nobody say. It's being a man, yo.
Most definitely, you know what I'm saying? 100% agree with.
And women know that as much trash that you see on social media, you know what I'm saying, about certain things, not a now woman will want to be a man. They wouldn't want to, because it's hard, too much demanding of them. You know what I'm saying?
Man, just for instance, to further your point, if an intruder comes in your house right now, and you know he got a gun, you know he coming to take something. As a man, it don't matter how scared you are, it don't matter what you're feeling, your job, your responsibility, because your word to your lady is, I'm going to protect you.
Yeah, I'm going to protect you. Yeah.
Your job is to go meet that gunman head on. And you know that might cost you your life. That's a heavy cross to bear. So, like you said, I don't like the whole war with men and women. Yeah. That they try to do. But I need to speak on your situation real quick. Sometimes in life, God will put us in situations, because the Bible says it's in our weakness that his strength is made perfect or made whole, something like that. And it doesn't feel good to not always have the answer, but sometimes God needs us to be in predicaments and in situations where we don't have an answer so he can show himself mighty. Because there was, in the Bible it says, not by strength or not by might, but by the word of the Lord. Sometimes, and during those moments, we're not looking at it like that. This is just hindsight 2020 looking at this mm-hmm. stuff. If we had all the answers, if we knew everything, we would be God. There would be no reason for him.
Right, right.
So a lot of times, sometimes we just have to sit back. Like, man, I've been in situations where, like you said, it feel like you're trying to save money, you're trying to do this, and something come up. And you know what I always say? You here today, right? Yeah. So that means God made a way for you to get back.
Right, right.
He didn't fail you. His word didn't fail you. You're here today, you're not at the beach. So his word didn't fail you. There have been times where I just had to sit down and say, like you said, you know what? I don't got the answers. I don't know. Sometimes God will put you in a situation. You know, men, we are used to being handyman, right?
Yeah.
This is the example I give. We used to eye nails and eye hammer working for every situation. Sometimes God will put you in a situation where you ain't got no nail, you ain't got no hammer, and if you do, it ain't going to work for this situation. Right, so now right. You got to sit back and watch me be God, because we always say we got faith. We always say we believe in God. The only way to know that for real is for a test. So anybody that's going through a test, man, I know it sounds easier said than done, but man, we done been through some stuff. Everybody done been through some stuff. Yeah. And sometimes you just have to sit back and just, I trust God, like, and you have to understand you're going to go through some things. Like, it's going to be stuff that's out of your control, stuff that's out of your hand, but that's where his strength is emboldened, because there ain't nothing we could do. Even though the woman is looking at us like, hey, what you going to do? The realest thing a man can tell a woman is, I'm going to be real, I'm in the same, ain't nothing I can do.
Hey, yo, no, shout out to my wife, man. She, when we got everything, she's like, Brandon, I don't know why you worry. Everything going to work itself out. And, like, with me, I'm like a, you know what I'm saying? I'm extra, you know what I'm saying? Like, so, you know, I'm like, man, what you mean everything all right? Like, my car died, you know how much, You know, so, you know, but, you know, after I settled myself, there's a lot of things I learned about myself, you know what I'm saying? And in tough situation, when stuff feel like, you know what I'm saying, my back against the wall, my character really shows. I went in panic mode, you know what I'm saying? And it was a lot of good things that happened that day, right? Mm-hmm. Like, the two Uber drivers I had, man, they so dope, man. They just made light of the situation. It made me feel pretty straight. Got some excellent information from the first Uber driver. And then the second Uber driver, he just told me his life story, you know what I'm saying? Like, why, you know, he was taking me. So I was like, you know, there is some, like, silver lining in certain things. And then also, I realized, like, ain't no need to panic. Everything gonna work itself out, man. And truthfully, sometimes the other part I wanna highlight, man, it's okay not to have the answer. It's okay just to be like, I don't know. It's okay to say, baby, I'm going to get back with you. I don't, you know what I'm saying? I don't know right now. You know what I'm saying?
That part right there.
So it's like, you know, you don't have to be real hasty and feel like you got to make a decision today or right now. Like, everything going to work itself out. You know what I'm saying?
I want to shout out you real quick.
Yeah.
Because you don't know how much, even in this story, you don't know how much strength that you showed to actually say, I had a moment. Like, those are realistic things. We have so many men that's so macho, that's so hardened, they can't have a moment. That's real. And I want to salute you for that. But even in your moment, to still be able to be like, you know what? There was some silver lining in it. Because it ain't the moment that we got to just focus on. It's what went right that day.
Right.
Luckily, I was able to pull into a bank. Lucky, I didn't have to get out and push a car.
Yeah.
Luckily, it didn't go out in the process of me driving, and I lost control over everything. So sometimes you have to look at your blessings. It could have been this way, but it's this way. So everything you go through, it's the old thing, the glass half empty or half full. Yeah, the car stopped, and it don't feel good, and we trying to save money. But imagine if the car had stopped when you're going 60, 70 miles per hour. And somebody runs, slamming the back of you. What if you would have had to get out and push the car? Like, everything didn't go right, but the fact that you was able to sit down and say, you know what, some good things did come out of that day. And that's what I want people to get to. Every situation that could be bad, that is bad, it could be much worse. There's always somebody that would kill to be in whatever predicament that you're in, feel is the most horrible predicament. Oh, all this going on with my cars. There are some people that's walking miles and miles to work. There are some people who's going to take their car to a place to get it fixed and will never get it back because they ain't going to never have the money to even get it out of the shop. So, and that's what I have to tell myself. Like, because my last car, man, I'm talking about every time I got paid, it sounded like every time I get a little backing, my car said, oh, I'm going to show you something. That's our money. So it got to the point where I had to tell myself, I'm grateful to be able to pay for it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think, man, this was a fire episode, man. I just want to add my last two pieces to the last part of the story, man. You know, what inspired me to tell that part, man, I was scrolling on social media, and this guy, one of my friends on social media said, he wrote, I give up. And I look at it, you know what I'm saying, a couple times, and I was like, man, this man ain't about to commit suicide, nothing like that, because I know him. He's from my hometown, you know what I'm saying? Good dude. I seen him doing homecoming, you know what I'm saying? It seemed like he was a spirit. But then, you know, I believe the Holy Spirit at that very moment had dropped something in me to let him know, you know what I'm saying? And for every man that listened to this show, man, you know what I'm saying? It gonna come a time where you feel like, hey, listen, I give up, you know what I'm saying? And you know what? That's a powerful affirmation, whether you believe it or not. Not because, you know what I'm saying? Like, you saying you giving up, like you want to kill yourself. But it's like you giving up because all the strength, all the power, the will, and everything else, you try everything and you realize that wasn't enough. And I just want to put this in your heart and your spirit, man. You know what I'm saying? That God telling you right now that no, you can't do it by yourself. You know what I'm saying? And you've been doing this all along on your own strength, on your own ability. That's the reason why you're exhausted. You know what I'm saying? So I bid you today, man, even this moment right now. You know what I'm saying? If you feeling this way right now, You know what I'm saying? I want to ask you to go in prayer, you know what I'm saying, and connect with God and let him know, you know what I'm saying, I'm tired. Like, I don't have the answers. You know what I'm saying? Help me. And I believe it's a scripture when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane and, you know what I'm saying, and he felt the pain and everything that what he was getting ready to take place and go through, you know what I'm saying? And he had a moment. You know what I'm saying? And he prayed to God to take this away. Take this cup away. You know what I'm saying? Even mm-hmm. Jesus had that moment. But you know what? God ain't never answered Jesus. You know why? Because Jesus said, well, not thy will, but your will. Not my will, but yeah, your will be done. You know what I'm saying? And so even in that moment right there, Jesus shows a part of him where he was weak and he couldn't carry the cross that he had. But that's the reason why I'm telling y'all, man. If you ever at this part, this moment, you know what I'm saying, connect with God, man. He's going to show you the way.
And just to piggyback off what you said, at some point, I'm going to, whenever I get my social media stuff together, we do this men's mental health thing once a month where we just talking, the guys just having conversation, because I feel like that's something that's very needed. We'll make it open to the public. Right now, it's just a little private group of us. But once we kind of get some stuff lined up, we'll make it available where more guys could kind of tap in, man. Because sometimes guys need to sit down and talk, man. And like I said, man, what you said was a blessing day. What you said was a blessing day, man.
Yeah, much love.
Definitely.
Yeah. So I think this, we could have went a little farther, but you know, it was,
you know,
all love,
go,
man. It was much love, man. Listen. Hey, if you enjoy this show, you enjoy what we put in today, man. Listen, I want you to tap in on Instagram, Kimi_podcast. That's on Instagram. And then we got a social media page on Facebook. I want you to connect, man. I really, really want y'all to connect. And I want y'all to know, I want y'all to tell us about how y'all feel about the show.
Most definitely. We need your feedback, man. Listen, for the week, we just want y'all to offer grace, man. Extend grace. Because at some point in time in life, you're going to need grace as well. Man, that's pretty much it for us. We out.
Yes, sir.